Hi, I'm Tina from Ellis Club 7, and you're listening to Right Back At Ya.
You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast with me, Joel Babington, and David Lim. Today we have a very special guest on the show, a UK pop music legend. As part of S Club 7, she achieved 10 million albums sold worldwide, 2 Brit Awards, 4 UK number ones, a top 10 hit in America. Of course, those incredible S Club TV shows that were watched by 90 million people around the world. And we have loved them for 22 years. She has a new single called Private Dance Instructor out now. She is here with us, Tina Barrett. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello. Oh, wow. I'm really good. What an introduction. Thank you.
Honestly, Tina, you are making Joel's dreams come true. I know you've already seen the jumper he's got on with everyone's surnames on it.
Everyone is on just, here.
Yeah.
Robbie Williams designed that. Did you
Robbie
know
Williams,
that?
Yes. Yeah. I think my boyfriend got it for me for Christmas, and I think that must be where he saw it. And then he was like, Joel's got to have it. Christmas present sorted.
I'm sorry, but why is Robbie like jumping in on this? I hope he's sharing the cash with you guys.
No.
Robbie.
He's Robbie Williams. So, but I think, yeah, maybe we should get the old,
get the lawyers on the phone.
Let's get him up.
I'm joking. Yeah.
Here at Right Back At Ya, we want to get into everything with you today, Tina. So let's take it right back to the beginning. So your career started out with you training at Arts Ed, I believe, and then you became a original member of an early incarnation of Mystique. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I trained at Arts Ed from 12 years old, and it was sort of ballet, and we also did sort of singing and other dance like jazz, tap, everything really. It was a bit like Fame, and then and we did sort of half the dance sort of performing, and then the other half of the day academic, hence why I'm not a doctor. So yeah, so Mystique, that kind of happened by chance really. I got a call from this a lady who's a music manager, and she was putting together a girl band, and she saw me on Top of the Pops performing with Shola Amma. I was backing dancer.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, many moons ago. Oh yeah,
that's a throwback name.
Yeah, bit of a throwback now. Yeah, and Shola Amma was like 16. She's like baby, and it was it was really fun working with her. And anyway, so I met up with this woman, and then it was me, Alicia, and Sabrina, and we were like rehearsing and writing. There was no record deal or anything. It was very early stages. And then, I guess, a couple of weeks into it, I auditioned for S Club, had no clue what it was. And then when they sort of offered me a place, I kind of thought, it was just so hard because obviously I loved working with girls, but there was nothing, we had no idea whether it was going to go anywhere at that point. Mm. So S Club was like a done deal. Everything was in place. It was a TV show, and it was just huge, you know, just hearing about it. And Simon Fuller as well was a big name,
of course,
at the time, as he's always been, type thing. So, I took the S Club offer, and yeah, ain't no party like an S Club party.
Exactly. 22 years later, here we are.
But can I say, I've got a lot of love for the girls, and they went absolutely exploded. So it's quite an honour to be part of two kind of big bands like that. So,
yeah, incredible. Did you end up ever crossing paths with the girls, like when you were doing the TV shows and stuff back in the day on like SMTV or anything like that?
Yeah, we did. Like, I remember bumping into Alicia quite a bit, but I guess because with S Club we did so much travelling and so much, because we recorded our TV show as well, we didn't really go to many things. It was all very much in and out.
You did touch on it before when you talked about when you went for the audition, you know, it was presented to you as this amazing opportunity. There was acting involved, there's Simon Fuller involved. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure, like, you know, the dream, it really was an all encompassing, all package thing. Were you a little bit intimidated going into it? Was it exciting for you to go, okay, this is it. This is like my one stop. I have to do this.
Was literally like, oh my god, this I'm not gonna get another offer like this, you know. This is something that kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity, because I was into like dance, singing and acting, and it was just everything that was I guess the only thing that was kind of that I wasn't so sure about that. They said, it's going to be very sort of pop, and it will be sort of very young audience. And I was thinking, oh, you know, because I was doing my R&B with Mystique, so I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure about that, you know. But then I thought about it, and I thought, oh, you know what? I can do pop. I like pop too. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, I feel like you're an R&B girl, maybe deep down, you know, and influence later in S Club's discography, which obviously we're going to touch on shortly as well. But, you know, do you remember much about the audition process, and did you meet any of the other members at that stage already?
I know some of the guys crossed paths when they were auditioning, but no, I didn't actually, because I found out about the audition through my agent at the time, which was a dance agent. And I got to audition because you have like the big auditions, which are called like open auditions, and you get loads of people showing up. If you're being auditioned through an agency, it's a bit less chaotic. You just have an appointment and you go in. So I didn't actually see anybody, so it was just like, yeah, turning up at the time and then leaving, really auditioning, and then that was it. Yeah,
so I guess, you know, in that sense, that doing, you didn't even get a sense of what the lineup would look like, let alone what roles you would play in the group, which I think Joel has some theories about this.
You know, the TV show was used as such a platform for us see you guys for the first time around the world. Now, I want to know, how were the characters of yourselves written? Did you guys get much input? Because I think having to act as yourself is actually a really hard thing to do. And people like yourselves, like the Spice Girls in their movie, they don't get enough credit for doing that well. It's a very hard thing to do well. So I wanted to know, like, did you guys have much input in that, or were you kind of just handed, like, here's the versions of yourself that we want you to be?
Well I remember, and this was really funny, because I remember on this, okay, who wants to be the bossy one, like this, and it was literally Tumbleweed. And so me being sort of like trying to kind of, you know, I don't know why I put my hand up, because I'm not bossy at all, and I just, because I'm actually quite laid back, but I have my moments, but don't we all? But yeah, but and I went, oh, I'll do it, like this, trying to be, you know, because it was just so quiet, I thought, oh, I'll do it, I don't care. And so every time I opened my mouth, I was literally screaming at somebody. And I was just like, maybe I shouldn't have put my hand up. Everyone's going to think I'm right, bitch.
Now, if we're going to go out busking, we need to get the dance routine and the songs just right. Now, I've been watching your attempts at dancing, and I must say, they are complete rubbish. What are they?
Complete rubbish.
I can't hear you.
Complete rubbish.
So there you go. I'm nice, really, you know.
Right. So there was kind of like a meeting that everyone kind of got delegated their personality tropes, if you will, and then it kind of went from there.
And then it kind of went from there, yeah. Because obviously, and Hannah as well. Hannah's role's very sort of like, she's a bit of a, she's a bit way out there, and she's not, she's actually very switched on. So, you know, yeah, we did kind of get handed these kind of almost cartoon characters, you know.
So speaking of the TV show, you know, it went there. You know, we had these glamorous locations. Sometimes we had time travel, the Bermuda Triangle, things like that. But also really rooted in this, in as much as a rooted as a children's TV show can be, of you guys trying to make it as a band. Do you have any kind of favourite or least favourite storylines that really stand out to you?
I actually like the ones we did in LA, because they were just, you know, I just remember all of us being in sort of LA, and we were all so young, so it was all really exciting for us, because we were in the beginning, we were in we stayed at the Standard Hotel, which was on Sunset Boulevard, and it was very sort of bit of a trendy sort of very trendy, very party. I think then they moved us out because they realized that was the worst place to put us, because we were like seven youngsters, and so we never really slept. Well, and I know like some people just didn't, you know, so it was, that was a bad idea, you know, when we're kind of having call times at 3 a.m.
So,
yeah, oh yeah, it was crazy. I was trying to remember some of the actually this was in Miami. Oh no, was it LA? It was LA, sorry. And it was Mr. Muscle. And I remember just running around, and because part of the storyline was me teaching a class at Muscle Beach. And so I had to teach these bodybuilders how to dance on Venice Beach. And it was just the funniest thing. I just remember thinking, this is so silly. And it was just funny. And like my outfit every day was like the flash dance outfit, almost. Oh, it was lycra, leotardy tights. And yeah, but no, it was literally. And we were filming like on location, so there'd be like people walking by, and I'd be just stood there dressed like, I know, some like fitness woman from the 80s. So.
Okay, that's it, everyone. And I can honestly say I've never seen a group of people with so much room for improvement. Hey, come on, you guys. Who wants to work out with me? Wimps.
It really does sound like there never was a dull day at work, though.
Oh, never. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it was very bizarre. Yeah.
I mean, you guys, you mentioned this already, Los Angeles and Miami, but also Spain, you know, some amazing locations and opportunity to travel and see the world as just young people, which is obviously very invaluable. Were there moments where you felt a bit homesick?
Oh, yes. Because we were sort of away so much, yeah, I used to get really homesick. And then obviously I had sort of like friends that were sort of doing kind of like, they had sort of quite sort of like birthdays and, I don't know, big events in their life. And I'd be missing it all. So it was, yeah, it was tough in that respect. Definitely. And family stuff as well. So, yeah.
And, you know, this was like pre-social media. So, you know, you can't even like just FaceTime into your mate's birthday party or anything like that.
No.
So I wonder, yeah, if that made the FOMO even greater, or was it actually bearable because you couldn't see it on social media?
I think I prefer having like all the social media, because you just can keep in touch, you know. If you don't want to kind of keep in touch, then I suppose then it's not so good. But I think, you know, when you're away, it's great.
Yeah, for sure. It would have been definitely different, I think, for your S Club experience being away so much, if that was there. But were there any particular, like, I know you said you enjoyed LA, but were there particular moments or memories while shooting that you just thought, this is incredible, like, I want to take a mental snapshot of this forever?
Yeah, I actually remember it was New Zealand, funny enough, and it was a day off. Yeah, they took us to the beach where they filmed the piano, and it was just something about it. It was just this beach, and it was absolutely deserted, nobody on it, and it was very, I don't know, it was just something about like the setting. It was just very, very, it was just beautiful, and it was just very calm. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, you know, this is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. And I just remember just walking around, you know, and just like, just absolutely loving it. And obviously today you'd be doing selfies and filming, but you know, in a way it was quite nice that I didn't have anything. I was just walking around enjoying it. It was, yeah, that really stood out to me, you know.
Lovely. Just being still in nature.
I was wondering if you had any, or if you remember any lost S Club projects, if there was anything kind of in development that didn't quite happen, or if there was any, you know, any songs still in the vault, or anything, you know, that was planned to happen that never quite materialised.
Nothing sort of springs to mind, actually. We did so many songs, but we did quite a few albums. So, you know, songs that weren't singles or on the album or on a sort of B-side. So, and we always used them in the TV show as well. So nothing ever, so we never really had anything unused. We used everything. Yeah.
Well, fans listening to that, there's always rumours speculating, you know, what's left. I think it might be comforting in a way, because at least we know there's nothing left. We've kind of got everything. So, you know, at the time, I think it was from Sunshine, it was rumoured that Show Me Your Colours and Stronger were going to be singles. Do you have any memories of that at all? And obviously, like, Stronger was a you-led single.
We were never told that, to be honest. Where that rumour came from, I don't know. So... But yeah, I've seen that rumor too. So, and I was never told it was going to be a single, but I know Stronger did very well. It was number one in the dance chart.
Yeah, it's definitely got that club banger feel to it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
We love having a club banger moment.
Yeah.
I'm more of an R&B boy, and like my favorite S Club album is definitely Seeing Double, where there was a little bit more of that influence in there. Whole Lot of Nothing is my favorite song. Do you have any favorites from that album?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember.
Do It Till We Drop, Hey Kitty Kitty, Dance, Into Deep, Alive,
dance.
Obviously.
I like Dance, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. That's banger. Very on brand for Tina.
Dance is a tune. Everything I like has Dance in it. Sounding like, I'm like a dance robot. No, I'm not really. but there's another one. What's it called?
Who Do You Think You Are?
Who Do You Think You Are? That's it. God, that was really good. You got that for me, just going, who do you think you are? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that's the one. Love that.
That is, Joel is a fan. He's, you know, got his fan ticket right there.
Yeah.
Also, have to say, you co-wrote the B-side on Alive called Discotheque. Was this the moment in S Club where you guys got to do a little bit more writing?
Bradley wrote a couple of things. He wrote Friday Night, and I've always been like into doing songwriting. Like this thing I've got at the minute, Private Dance Structure, I co-wrote. So I just wanted to do more of that, really. So I kind of said I'd like to do a bit of writing, you know, and they were like, well, yeah, go for it.
Amazing. And it's another like club bangery feel, like them and Stronger, like a very like good companion songs, I'd say.
Definitely, yeah, it was like, definitely a club vibe. I partied a lot, what can you say?
So you guys worked with Kathy Dennis a lot, and then she ended up coming on, yeah, on Miami 7 on the first series. I was just wondering if you had any specific memories of working with her, or if you had any favourite in particular S Club collaborators.
Kathy was, she played this actress, I think, I remember, and it was a fun role, and she's a good sport. Like, she really got into it, and yeah, she did great. Yeah, and she's such a talent. So yeah, we were very sort of lucky to have her on the show for sure. We had quite a few guests starring in our show, actually. There are more sort of American sort of celebrities, but we had the guy that played Kaniki was in one of our shows from Greece, yeah. And we also had Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
All grown up, yeah. And he was absolute hoot, you know, he was just really lovely guy, yeah.
Oh, really? And then you obviously had Linda Blair as well, which is quite wild.
Linda Blair, like the amazing Linda Blair, The Exorcist. So, yeah.
From, you know, the most famous horror film of all time to, you know, this kids show that was like shown wild around the world. So, range. we love range.
Yeah, yeah. She can do horror. She can do West Club 7. You know, amazing woman.
that's a good CV there, you know, diversity. So I actually wanted to touch on, like, you know, Paul leaving. How far in advance did you guys know, and then did it kind of feel like the beginning of the end then, or were you kind of like, let's just go for it, and then the end naturally happened?
Well, yeah, when Paul left, it was a huge deal for the band, for sure. I think that we at that point, we've been together so pretty much 5 years. And we were all grown up, and I guess our sort of image and everything else hadn't really moved forward. We were still very much a kids band, and so I guess for Paul it was just he just wanted to do something a bit more like his taste. You know, he had a band that he was another band he was with, and they were rock music, so he just wanted to pursue that more, which I completely understand. But it did change the dynamic, of course. And yeah, I think we only went on about a year sort of longer, and then we split up. With S Club, I think we were all sort of wanting to either have a rest or do our own thing, basically.
Yeah. I think what would have been fantastic, looking at how old you guys were already at that point, after doing Seeing Double, or just about to start Seeing Double, would have been nice to maybe give you guys a break to pursue some solo projects and support that, and then have everyone regroup if that was the case. Would you have enjoyed that?
Yeah, I think so. But in hindsight, at the time, I think everyone just was like, we're just over S Club. So I don't know. But the thing is, when you're young, we weren't business people. And so we just thought, okay, we just want to do our own thing. Thinking if I was to rewind, yeah, that would have been a great idea, you know. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, but the cool thing is, you know, our songs, you know, for some reason, some of the songs especially are still being played, and it's so nice to kind of have people still like the music and kind of and watch the TV show. I still get people telling me that they watch it, and it makes them, they love it, and yeah, and it was their childhood, so it's pretty cool.
It is such a big deal, and it's, you know, for me, it was kind of, I caught up very much later because I lived with Joe. We were flatmates, so that was how this podcast started. And he made me watch the Seeing Double movie, which brings me to the iconic red carpet premiere where you wore that red dress. I cannot believe this, because I was like, where do I know this picture from? I didn't realize it was from that premiere. What do you remember about the night and the dress and people's reactions? Yeah. What do you remember of that?
Oh, it's a bit of a blur, but yeah, it was crazy. I remember at the time I wasn't sure whether I was going to wear it, because obviously it's very revealing and very, very, and you saw what the other guys were wearing. They were literally head to toe covered up. And it was a windy day, let me tell you. But yeah, so I'm probably the gutsiest member for that reason, for the dress. But yeah, I just wanted to wear something. I just wanted to wear one of those red carpet dresses, and I wasn't thinking anything particularly as crazy as the red dress. But when I put it on, you know, I kind of, because at the time I sort of met Scott, who was his fashion designer, and he, it was his dress he designed, and he was like, well, try it on, and I was like, well, this is definitely going to get people talking, and then when he started pinning it and sort of adjusting it, I thought, like, actually, you know, it's not too bad, you know, and it's beautiful, you know. So it was one of those things. So I spent ages kind of making it, putting it in, sort of adjusting it so it was all kind of, you know, everything was in place. And as soon as I moved and walked out, it all just kind of went.
Oh my gosh.
And I was literally looked like I had no clothes on. So yeah. but my modesty was still protected. But yeah.
Yeah. But it was, yeah. it definitely made a statement. And you know what? I thought it was even better that everyone else in the band went for something so muted, and there you were just like, boom. Like, that is 100% what I would do if I was in a pop group. Like, let me get that.
Yeah, just like, it was my little, everyone, I've been getting high fives for that for like 20 years. It's great.
It is so iconic,
yeah, men
honestly.
Men and women, weirdly enough. So it's kind of cool, yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, were you, like, and you said, like, the minute you moved it dropped down, but, like, were you able to enjoy the night? Like, I would just, like, I don't think I'd even be able to sit down. I would just be like, I'm going to stand here and not move.
Well, luckily, Scott had that covered, Scott Henshaw. He had another sort of outfit for me to kind of go to the party in, and it was just like twist, and another beautiful thing. But I remember it was really heavy because I had this sort of like almost like metal kind of what would you call it thing here, and it was all very sort of I don't know, a little bit like the dress, the red dress, but covered. And it was all like this, and I just remember thinking the red dress was more comfortable because I had this heavy thing here. Like, so it's like, if I move, I'm gonna, like, yeah, get hurt.
Gotta suffer for the fashion.
But, you know, fashion's all about kind of no pain, no gain. You've just gotta breathe
it. It was worth it. We're still talking about it 20 years later, you know.
Yeah, yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, amazing.
So around this time, you guys also did the S Club United tour, and that's when you announced that you were splitting to an arena full of fans. I just wanted to ask, like, were you nervous about that? What was the atmosphere of telling, like, an arena full of adoring fans that devastating news?
I don't think I actually said anything. It was two members that said it. I can't remember who did. And I just sort of stood there and waved. So it was a little bit of a sort of like end of moment where everyone gasped. So it was quite very emotional, I have to say. And it was just kind of like and that's that. And so I guess it was a very quite emotional moment. Yeah, sad really, but you know, it was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe as well a little bit of relief, then you can just go, oh, okay, you know, we can close the chapter on this, and now we can continue and grow as professionals and as individuals. And, you know, as sad as it was, it must be also a little bit liberating, I bet.
Absolutely. I think when you've been in that sort of environment for like years and years, you do sort of, you know, you become in this bubble, and it wasn't like a 9-to-5 job where you just come home and then you're yourself and it's fine. You're just constantly in it. So it's a 24-hour job pretty much. And you're having to navigate your way through all these bizarre situations constantly. because like everyone's kind of, you know, in your face and you're under, you know, media scrutiny and all this. And so it was a bit of a when it ended. And it's kind of like finding yourself again, really, because you're playing a role, especially in a band like S Club. You know, we were playing a role.
So how did you adjust to the just coming off that intensity and that machine? How were the kind of following months and years for you when you kind of got back to being you?
It was bizarre, really. I just remember having a huge holiday because we obviously were exhausted and
deserved.
Well deserved, yeah. And then it was a bit like, oh, what now? You know. But you know, I didn't really sort of rush back into anything major. I kind of just took my time out, and I was sort of doing a lot of music for years, like just writing with people, and the time just went. But I wasn't kind of missing it in a way. It was quite nice to just kind of be myself again, you know, just Tina from London, you know, not Tina S Club, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And just kind of give yourself a moment to reconnect to what it is that you enjoy doing. Did you consider perhaps working as a songwriter, like full time, and just going down that path behind the scenes as a creative?
I did. I touched on that. But I think the thing is, because of the S Club, I guess, S Club's so big, it was quite hard to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So I never really, even though I wrote with so many different people, I never really got a chance to sort of kind of do much with it. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. And, it is like coming from a band like S Club, people do sort of, I don't know, you do have that stigma. Although it seems to have gone now, which is cool, you know, 20 years later. But yeah, it's a funny one. I don't know. People do have a bit of a misconception about pop music, I guess. I don't know why.
Yeah, they do. And part of our podcast is like writing that wrong, because we are all giving it the praise and credit that it's worth. And it just seemed like now it just seems like anything goes, which is amazing. And it seems like that stigma is like...
Yeah.
Gone a lot, which is fantastic. So we just want to fast forward to 2015. You guys came back and it was amazing. Like, that tour was incredible. I would say on record it was literally one of the best nights of my life. I had a sore throat for ages after.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it was the best tour. Like, we all enjoyed ourselves so much, and we had such a blast. Like, everyone was on form. There was no one that was, you know, not enjoying it. It was just the best. Everyone was on top form. So it was, we enjoyed it too. It was it was probably one of my favorite S Club moments during that tour, definitely. Yeah.
Amazing. And it seemed like it was very much like you guys just signed up for the tour and that was it. Was there ever any talk of anything more at that time?
Yeah, I think what once we were sort of in it again and it was really fun, I think you know, we were thinking, oh, it'd be nice to sort of maybe do new music and everything else. But obviously, you know, seven people and there's seven lives, and we couldn't sort of get it together to do it. But sadly we didn't do anything more than the tour. But I know pretty much everyone wanted to. So it was just one of those things. It was like a timing thing, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, looking at how well, say, Steps did with a comeback, and even the Pussycat Dolls recently with a comeback, you know, there is definitely an appetite and there is a way of navigating a comeback with new music. So, Tina, as one who has solo music and is writing and recording and releasing, I'm going to put you in charge of A&R. Who would you call first to book a session for S Club's comeback record?
Oh, good question. I think, so which producer to do?
Yeah, producer, writers, this is your dream. Put it out there.
I'm going to go a bit different. I'd be interested to see what Pharrell Williams would do with S Club.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Yeah, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I'm going big. Yeah.
I can hear it, you know. I can hear the rhythms, the bongos, the horns, something like maybe a little bit. You know how like some S Club songs has that kind of Rio Carnivale feeling?
Mm. Yes.
Pharrell can do that.
And maybe like the hip-hop influence as well in there too, I think, you know. Because Don't Stop Moving was slightly more R&B, so we could kind of explore that a bit more too. Yeah.
Don't Stop Moving 2021 version, whatever the answer to that is, Pharrell Williams, make it happen.
I'm into that. Like, I'm sorry, like, I've completely gone to another place in my mind now. You've set me off, Tina. We're just fantasizing about the comeback now.
You have teased that we could see another S Club reunion. Mm. Is there anything you could tell us about that or just what you would like to see happen?
Yeah, well, I'd be totally up for it. You know, I think you know, we should do another one. It's been 20 years, so we've kind of got to a milestone, 20-year reunion, maybe. I definitely love to do another one. Whether or not it will happen, I can't say. I don't know. but as they say, watch this space.
Watch this space. Do you think you guys would ever be up for doing like a definitive like look back documentary?
Yes, definitely. I wouldn't outrule anything. I know we're all very, you know, because we did have our TV show. I think if anything, I think we'd probably do like maybe a one-off special of the TV show. But now,
Wow, everyone would love that. That would be fun. Yeah, and like make it, you know, like 20 years on, grow up with the audience, like adult comedy.
I don't think we'd be on CBBC anymore.
CBBC After Dark.
Yeah.
I know the fans are gagging for the TV shows to finally be released on DVD. So hopefully, you know, Simon Fuller, just push that archive out there. Get it out there.
I think we're the only show from that time that isn't on Netflix, maybe. I don't know.
It's mad. It's like, you know, it's I don't know like where it is with rights or whatnot. But, you know, if it's sitting there, let people enjoy it, especially in the where we're just such a consuming world now. So Tina, let's talk about your solo music. What was the journey for you to coming back with Fire, your first solo single?
Yes, well, as I say, I'd been writing for quite a long time, and so it got to the stage where I was thinking, you know what, I probably won't release anything. And then the opportunity came around to do something with Fire. So I did the video and I just put it out there just to see what the reaction would be. And it was great. You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, it sort of became a bit of a sort of a club favourite. It was very cool. So thanks to everyone that supported it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the club favourites, last year you released Moi Moi, which became this really it's a banger, and it became such a like a cult hit on the gay scene, like on gay social media especially. Oh. It was so celebrated and loved. What was the origins of that song?
Well, I co-wrote that with AT Empire, who I also wrote Private Dance Instructor with too. We wrote a bunch of songs. And Moi Moi was always, I always thought it was such a fun song and so quirky. And I just thought, you know what? It's a Marmite song and it's about shopping. You know, we've got to release this. It's just a bunch of fun. Let's do it.
Exactly. You hear it once or even like the first half of it and it is in your head. Yeah. Like you're singing along by the second half and you're singing it along, I'd say all day, but it's more like all month. Like you just have to put it on again and again and again. Got a crush on me, Valentino and Armani in the VIP. Gucci Prada, be your Coco Chanel. Gucci Prada, be your Coco Chanel. Now, I read online that you were actually, you shot another video for that years ago, and Hannah actually cameoed in it. What happened to that?
So yes, I was going to release it, and then it didn't happen, and then we had the video, and Hannah was cameoed in it, and she's such a good sport. It was quite a sort of, we made it really tongue in cheek, the video, and so we sort of dressing up as characters and stuff. And then I released it properly last year. So the video never got seen because we kind of remixed it slightly, and the video didn't fit. So right. it was just one of those things. So we reshot the video and went for a more sort of arty vibe, kind of about this sort of lady that's obsessed with fashion, and she's, you know, that's her life. And it's, so it was a bit kind of more, went down the more sort of art route than comedy route. And I think that probably suited the song more, if I'm honest. But you know, I'm all for comedy. I try not to take myself too seriously. But yeah, so that's what happened.
Well, I love the video that we did get to see. Yeah, you're right. It's very cool. It's like very, it's like art house meets like club R&B. It's fab.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
What I loved about it was actually you, from listening to you talk about it, you know, there is that joy of playing a different character, whether you're writing it as a song, performing it in the studio booth or in front of the camera. So where does your inspiration come when you're writing? Is it more introspective, or do you like to put on characters?
I think a bit of both, actually. I mean, obviously a song like Moi, Moi, you're kind of, you know, it's like, so I suppose you're becoming a character and you're really sort of, you know, almost creating something. And then another song, it could be more just about an experience or autobiography, like an autobiography, like your diary, like a kind of like a Taylor Swift kind of, my relationship. and it's therapeutic, you know. Getting it all down and then, sort of, you know, making it
song. So you've got your current single, Private Dance Instructor. Yeah. And I mean, I was putting it on yesterday while I was cooking, and I was like, it just made me miss going out and dancing with my friends. Like, and it's the kind of music that we'd put on when we're pre-drinking on the way out. So it really just took me in that headspace. I wanted to do a bend and snap. It was just sexy, like the beat is so sexy.
It's a bit of a sexy song. I wanna be your private dance instructor.
I wanna dance with you all night long. You say you've got a bit of, like, I think you're working on an album. Is this the kind of direction that you're headed in?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that kind of whole R&B and the Spanish guitar as well is something that, you know, is very me. And something you can move to, and just kind of that is definitely the vibe that represents my sort of style for sure. Yeah.
So how's the album coming along? How's it all looking at the moment?
Well, I'm kind of gonna go back into the studio soon, so it's literally in process of happening. Obviously at the minute, with all the restrictions and the lockdowns,
it's tricky.
It's on pause, but you know, I've definitely got things to be getting on with, and Private Dance Instructor's out right now, so check it out. It's on all digital platforms, and I'm definitely having fun sort of just releasing my own stuff, really, and doing my own thing away from S Club, for sure.
Amazing. And I mean, we love it. And like David was saying, music that you can move to, it's like, especially Private Dance Instructor, it's kind of like when you're having those first few drinks and it's hitting you and you can really like start to move about in your body. So just look forward to, more Tina music that's going to be our pre-drink anthems and our albums. So Tina, you've achieved so much and done so much. Is there anything particular in your career that you're still wanting to achieve?
Ooh, Yeah, I mean, there's always things that I'd love to do, definitely. I haven't really done, apart from obviously the S Club show, I've not done that much acting. So I'd love to do maybe, if the right part came along, you know, I would definitely enjoy doing acting again, for sure.
What do you think would be your dream role? What kind of roles?
Oh, don't know. Actually, something that's probably the opposite to the band. So something a bit more gritty, maybe. Yeah.
Nice.
Quentin Tarantino. Hello.
Oh, something a little bit darker. Yeah.
Well, Hannah did Chucky, didn't she? So that was, I thought that was a good sort of change from S Club Miami 7. Can't get more.
Sometimes you just got to go the complete opposite, don't you? Just to shock people and go, hey, I can do this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, give yourself a challenge. I can't think of anything in particular, but yeah, just like a good script would be good. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, look, writers, directors out there, hit up Tina. I think you'd make an amazing, like, scream queen as well, especially like talking about Chucky. Like, I think I could definitely see like a Tina Barrett led horror film.
yeah, why not? Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
And then, of course, do you think you would ever be interested in doing any of the shows that we see on now, like Masked Singer, Strictly Come Dancing, Dancing on Ice, anything like that?
Yeah, the only one that I'd absolutely love to do is Strictly. It's just, I just love the show. And it'd be amazing to do that one.
Well, there we go, guys. Strictly hit Tina up. So then, of course, Tina, you also do the S Club party show. So whenever we can go out and about again, what can the listeners expect to those if they catch an S Club party show?
Yeah, so we had like a whole tour booked for like 2020, and basically it got cancelled because of the lockdown and everything. So a lot of the dates have been rescheduled for this year. So fingers crossed, you know, we all get back to normal soon. It'll be me and Brad. Lifting everyone's, trying to lift people's spirits with a bit of Reach with Stars, you know. And so we're looking forward to getting back on the road, definitely.
Amazing. Maybe you should would you ever consider putting in a little Stronger discotheque mashup in there?
I think, why not? Yeah, if people want to hear it, I don't know.
Well, listen, sometimes you just got to give it to them and then see if they like it or not. Yeah, and then you know it's your show. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah,
give the Make people something like to dance to. So look, Tina, we just have a few little wrap up questions for you. We are a 2000s pop music podcast, so we wanted to know, other than S Club, who would you say are your top three noughties pop stars or pop bands?
Okay, Britney Spears is one.
The Queen.
Obs, yeah. The Queen. I think Backstreet Boys have got me up there. I just think they're incredible. And third one, in that era, Spice Girls.
Incredible.
Yeah. Icons, legends. If you could form a super group with members from other noughties pop groups, who would join you?
Oh. Who would join S Club?
Yeah, no, you. So you're forming a super group. If you could form it, who would you cast with you in a super group?
Oh, okay. That's a good one. So how many members?
As many as you want.
As many as you want.
The Tina Barrett Band. You can decide.
I can decide. Oh God, this is hard. Okay, so so many good artists. Okay, so let's go. Okay, Usher.
Yes.
He's kind of that era, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is definitely, yeah.
It's going to be boy-girl band. Britney as well, because she's awesome. And who else? H from Steps.
Amazing. Oh, okay. Wow.
Like, bubbly. Just think he's brilliant. He's so much fun. Yeah, H. And another girl. Okay, let's go Beyonce.
Wow. Ooh. That is a
This is a group of
up.
Dancers. Okay, yeah. That's strong and choreography coming.
Triple threats in that band.
And then we'll have another one. Who else? And then, oh, my mind's gone blank. this is a really hot Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott.
Okay, now this is cool. This is a very cool band.
You've got something for everyone. I don't know as much. Like, I'm a huge Steps fan. I think you can all fit under like that. I don't know where H might fit in, but maybe he has got more of an R&B vibe to him. You know,
I just think he's hilarious.
I think
he's good laugh, and I think H would fit in.
He'll bring the energy, and then everyone else can bring like the coolness. Amazing. Tina, that is everything. I just want to thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor and a pleasure. Uh-huh. Like, honestly, just appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Wow, David, we just had Tina Ann Barrett on our podcast. We had a member of S Club 7 on this very podcast. Mind-blowing.
It's mad, isn't it? It's unbelievable. And what an honor and privilege it is to have legends join us on this podcast. We are nothing but fans, and it's all love here for everyone we cover and we celebrate.
So again, thank you to Tina for coming on, and a big thank you to Derma at Candid Publicity as well for setting that up for us. And also thank you to the listeners. We've had some really lovely 5-star reviews coming in, David, haven't we?
Yes, and thank you guys, honestly, like, your support means so much to us, and, you know, reading your tweets and your DMs and everything like that is just fantastic. And I'm glad that we can be a bit of escapism for you from time to time. So these are some fabulous 5-star reviews that we've had left on Apple, which helps a little podcast like us get a bit of traction. So please do so if you love what we do. This one is titled A Pop Must, and it's from Mikey Moscow. Hello, Russia.
Hello, Russia. Hello, Mikey.
From Russia with love. Okay, that's not what it says in a review, but it goes, this podcast is giving me all the nostalgia I need. It's highly informative and entertaining at the same time. Give me more, guys. And we've got another one here. This one's from Great Britain. Don't know where that is.
UK who?
This one is, left by Mr. Plant Geek. And it goes, love it. Amazing. Listening nonstop today. Oh, succinct and to the point.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for listening. As David said, please do leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy what we're doing. And David, we have had the pleasure of interacting with both of those lovely reviewers on social media. So if you are enjoying what we're doing, do follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, because we love to hear from you and we have lots of fun on there. So do join us.
We do love an Insta story quiz, don't we, JB?
We love a quiz, a poll, a sexy grid post. but yeah, it's an honor to have you guys listening to our pop chat. So we really do appreciate it. We have been Right Back At You at Right Back Pod on all socials. Hit that subscribe button. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B on all social platforms, and you can follow him at
Love Limmy.
Until next time, bye.
I wanna-